Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything is upside down in God's kingdom. My ways are not your ways, he says, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. In God's kingdom, he does things differently than our human reason would ever think, and differently than our sinful flesh would ever want. In today's gospel, Jesus paints the picture of God's kingdom as a man who contracted workers who weren't paid on the basis of their work. Instead, the landowner, paid the workers on the basis of charity. That's not how things work in our world, but it is how things work in God's kingdom. And so highly is God's grace, God's charity, exalted in this parable that Jesus told, that the workers at the end of the day who worked the longest and despised the grace of the landowner were fired and dismissed. Because in God's kingdom, it's not about wages for the workers. It's about charity for the chosen. First, the landowner in Jesus' parable went out and showed charity by going out into the city square and finding the jobless people there, the jobless men who had no income, who had no other wages coming. At 6 a.m., he went out looking for workers, and he found some there right away at 6 a.m. Those who were there at 6 a.m. were the ones who were ready to put in a long day's labor, 12 hours, ready to work, ready to be employed. Okay, the landowner employed them. He invited them into his vineyard to work. And he made a contract with them, a covenant, if you will, and agreed with them to pay them a full day's wages for a full day's work. But then he went out later, throughout the day. He went out again at 9 a.m. and at noon and at 3 and even at 5 p.m., knowing that the workday ended at 6, looking for men who didn't have a job, looking for men who didn't have an income, looking for people who were idle and unemployed with no unemployment check to be cashed. Come work for me in my vineyard, and I'll give you whatever is right. What would that be? What is right? The right wages to pay a worker who has put in 1 hour. Why, it's a full day's wages. What is right to give to the one who has worked 3 or 6 or 9 hours? Why, it's a full day's wage for them too. What grace, what charity, that the landowner didn't repay them based on how hard or how well they worked. He gave them a full day's wage. And remember who was happy about that? Everybody, except the ones who had been hired first, the ones who did put in a full day's worth of work and bore the heat of the day. The landowner saw to it that they were paid last, that they had to wait and watch as he gave his charity to the ones who worked only 1 hour and to the rest. And there they sat, those who put in the 12 hours, there they sat thinking, oh, this is good. He told us he'd pay us a full day's wages, but he must have been lying. He'll give us more. Because he gave them more and we did more work. So it must be based on how much work we did. And so he has to give us more to be fair.
But he didn't give them more.
What was right to give to the ones who worked the full day? A full day's wage, just like he had promised at the beginning of the day. No more, no less. And they were angry about it. How dare that landowner make us equal to these people who didn't do nearly as much as we did? Either he should pay us more, or he should have paid them a whole lot less. It's so wrong. But the landowner had an answer for them. To one of them he said, "Friend," same word Jesus used for Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" The end of this parable is both happy and sad. Happy for all those workers who received the charity of that landowner, who received far more than they ever deserved, but so sad for the first ones who hated the landowner for his generosity. So sad because all they cared about was getting reimbursed for their work, and so they missed out on the grace, on the charity of their landowner. It never occurred to them how privileged they were to be working for such a good, such a generous employer, such a charitable man. And since they despised his grace, he now says to them, "Take what is yours and go your way. Get out of here." There's no place in God's vineyard for the one who despises God's grace. That's the bittersweet lesson Jesus was teaching in this parable, that those who look to God for charity will receive it in spades. But those who look to God for reimbursement for their labor will be dismissed from God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is not about wages for the workers. It's about charity for the chosen. The landowner, of course, is God. The vineyard is his kingdom. In other words, his church here on earth. The workers are those whom God has called into his kingdom. Could be Old Testament, could be New Testament, it's really both. All those whom God has called with his gospel call, with his word, to know him, the one true God, and to come into his kingdom, to come into his church. That call went out first to the Old Testament people. It went out to them through Abraham, and it went out to them through Moses, to come into God's kingdom, to become his covenant people. He promised them everything. He promised them that he would be their God and that they would be his people. He promised them an inheritance, the inheritance of the world. He promised them the coming of Christ. Grace upon grace upon grace. And as a nation, they bore the heat of the day the longest. 2,000 years before Christ, they bore the weight of circumcision. 1,500 years before Christ, they bore the full weight of the law of Moses, with all its commandments and laws and restrictions and regulations. The people of Israel worked the whole day. But as time went by, God went out and sent out his message, his call, to others, still Jews, but Jews who had completely abandoned the law of Moses and were leading openly impenitent lives of tax collecting while stealing at the same time, and prostitution and all those other open and public sins. But John the Baptist and Jesus called them to repentance and to faith in Christ. and brought them into God's vineyard through the preaching of the gospel and through baptism. Then later in the day, even Jesus started to call some Gentiles into his kingdom, and eventually that word would go out into all the nations and call all the Gentiles to the obedience of faith. And what did he promise to all those who came later, even to the Gentiles who came last? The same things he promised to the Jews: forgiveness of sins, a place in his kingdom, that God would be their God and that they would be his children, an eternal inheritance in heaven. But when the Jews, who had worked so tirelessly to keep the law of Moses, saw Jesus calling tax collectors and prostitutes and even Gentiles into his kingdom and giving them the same promises that he had given to the Jews, promise of forgiveness and the promise of eternal life, they became angry. They became bitter. So many of them despised God's grace. This is the very thing that prompted the Jews to kill Jesus, because he came in God's name promising charity to those who didn't deserve it. And the Jews thought they did. How wrong that God should make them equal to those who didn't deserve God's grace as they thought they did. Jesus came announcing charity, not the charity of money or food or clothing or social improvement, but the charity of God's forgiveness, the charity of God's love, the charity of a place in heaven and resurrection from the dead to live forever with God. That kind of charity, the charity of God, is Jesus himself. Now, very, very late in the day, you and I have been called into the vineyard long after the Jews received the law from Moses, long after the apostles did all of their hard work in the early church and the martyrs spilled their blood for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Long after all that, today, with all the modern conveniences and blessings that we have in our country, who haven't been made to live like people, like even Christians, have lived in the past, here we are, called into God's kingdom, called to receive the same things that God promised to his Christian church from the beginning, no more and no less. He has called you into his kingdom, his church, through the preaching of the gospel. He found you jobless, with nothing in your hand but your own sin. He sent his son to pay for it, to pay for it all, delivered him up to death. And now he's brought you into his kingdom through the sacrament of holy baptism. And so God has made you a laborer in his vineyard, a member of his church, his body, a servant of the living God. He won't reward you according to the work you have done or will do in his kingdom. It doesn't work that way in the church of God. It's not about wages for workers. It's about charity for the chosen. But what happened to the Jews can just as easily happen to you. The longer you spend in the Christian church, the easier it will be for Satan to point you back to your life of service to God, to the works you have done, to the sacrifices you have made as a Christian. The easier it will be for the devil to point you to all those things you've had to suffer as a Christian, and to all the prayers you've prayed and the other things you've done. And he will try to convince you that now God owes you something. The longer you spend in the Christian church, the easier it will be for the devil to come to you and convince you, yeah, you have Jesus, but Jesus isn't enough. You deserve more from God than Him. The longer you spend in the Christian church, the harder it will be for you to see sinners who have gotten to live a life of sinful pleasure, who have gotten to follow their sinful desires, who haven't had to deny themselves all those pleasures like you have, and then see them later in life, after all of that, come to repentance and faith and receive all the same promises that you've received. Receive the same Jesus, receive the same forgiveness and the same eternal life in heaven. How dare God make them equal to you? Do not despise the grace of God. It is through God's charity alone that you entered His kingdom. It's God's charity alone that keeps you in His kingdom, and it's God's charity alone that you will receive at the end of the day. Jesus, the crucified and risen one. Jesus, the charity of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Well, some will say, I don't want charity from anyone. I want to earn my place in God's kingdom. Well, you can't. And if you try, you will lose your place in God's kingdom. It's true, God has called you to work in His kingdom, not to sit around all day doing nothing. He's called you to keep His commandments and to love your neighbor in accordance with those commandments, to live in your vocation as an imitator of Christ. But you will not be paid according to the work you do as God's servant, because your works are still sin and the wages of sin is still death. Instead, you will be given charity, credit for Jesus' works, and forgiveness for your sins for the sake of Jesus' sacrifice, if you trust in Him as the one who reconciles you to God. What then? Is it better to be a latecomer to God's vineyard so that you can live most of your life having fun? You can live most of your life doing those things that your flesh so wants to do, and then only then later come into God's kingdom and get forgiven and the same reward as everyone else? How can you even ask that question? You didn't ask it, I did. Is it better to spend your life not knowing the love of your Father, not receiving His comfort, not receiving His forgiveness throughout your life? Is it better to spend most of your life not knowing Jesus Christ, the charity of God? Friend, if you think so, you still don't know Jesus at all. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen. All of you here who have been baptized have been called. That is your calling, to be workers in God's vineyard. And God has promised His charity to all of you. Some Christians will yet despise the charity, the grace of God. Some will never be satisfied with the wages that God gives out at the end of the day, and that will be their own fault, because God offers His grace to all. But some will find great comfort and joy in the charity of this landowner, in His goodness and generosity, and in the wages of grace that He pays. And those who find comfort and joy in that and in Him, that's not your doing. That's God's doing. because he has chosen you to receive grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not about wages for workers. It's about charity for the chosen. It's about receiving Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you'll never be so foolish as to grumble, Jesus isn't enough. Because Jesus is enough. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.